It is a great pleasure to welcome to European Investing Summit 2020, Marta Escribano. She has been working in financial markets for more than a decade and became a principal analyst in 2013. Formerly, she worked for 3 years in the Treasury Department of Banco Popular at the FX and Fixed Income Desk. Before that, she had joined the treasury of Inversis Bank and the International Equity Desk at Interdin as equity sales trader, advising mostly Swiss and Italian clients. Since the beginning of her professional career, she has been passionate about financial markets because they're global, changing, and are related to human psychology. Her interest in the Austrian School of Economics began after reading Money, Bank, Credit, and Economic Cycles by Huerta de Soto. She holds a bachelor's degree in law from the Universidad Pontifica Comillas and a master's degree in financial markets and alternative investments. And of course, at this time, Marta is a principal analyst and partner at Salomon Mundi Capital. And we are very fortunate, Marta, to have you with us today for this presentation. Please go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank Jon and Manuel of Ideas for this opportunity. It is a pleasure for us to participate in this summit. And before beginning with our investment case, let me give you a little insight of who we are. Salomon Mundi is a Spanish SICAV which trades in the alternative exchange in Madrid. Our investment philosophy is based on two pillars, value investing and the Austrian School of Economics. We consider distortions caused by credit cycles and their impact on asset valuations. We invest all over the world in any asset class, both long and short, and we are interested in assets, sectors, commodities, or countries out of favor, where little capital has been invested during long periods of time. We try to avoid investing in countries which have had a large and rapid credit growth during many years, and we usually refrain from investing in indebted companies. We think the best investment returns are produced in the long term, so we invest with a long-term horizon. Guillermo Nieto is partner and chief investment officer of Salomon Mundi, and I am partner and the principal analyst. And you can find more information in our website, salomonmundi.com. So let's start with the investment case. Today we want to present you Polius. Our investment thesis is that Polius is a unique company because it's Russia's largest gold mining company and one of the four largest gold producers globally, with an annual production of 2.8 million ounces. It has the largest gold reserve base in Russia and the third largest globally. It owns an outstanding portfolio of tier one assets, which are the best gold mines in the world, and is among the lowest cost producer in the industry with an all-in sustaining cost of $574 per ounce, and is being able to reduce costs gradually. Since 2018, gold production of Polius has increased more than 70%. This is a compound annual growth of 9.5%. Its grade of 1.8 grams per ton is much higher than the sector average of 1.3 grams per ton. Polius is a company that generates robust free cash flow and is free cash flow positive throughout the cycle and has a healthy balance sheet. Its net debt EBITDA is 0.8 times. One of the most important points is that Polius has long-term growth in an industry which growth is difficult to achieve. Furthermore, we think the macro environment is positive for gold outlook, but I will discuss it later. Polius is a Russian gold miner, which was incorporated in 2006. The principal activities are the extraction, refining, and sale of gold. All the mining and processing facilities of the group are located in Russia, in the Krasnoyar, Irkutsk, and Magadan regions, and in the Sakha Republic of the Russian Federation. It is the largest gold producer in Russia, and globally is the fourth largest gold miner. Furthermore, the reserves and resources of Polius are huge. It is the third largest gold miner by reserves and resource base, with 61 million ounces of reserves and 188 million ounces of mineral resources. Polius shares trades on Moscow Exchange and London Stock Exchange. Its market cap is $28 billion and it employs almost 19,700 workers. Its mine life of 21 years doubled the average mine life of its top 10 global peers. All its mines are open pit operations, which enables the group to operate in an easier and low-cost way. It is a low-cost producer with an all-in sustaining cost of $574 per ounce and a high grade of 1.8 grams per ton. The company owns some of the largest assets globally. For example, its Krasnoyarsk business unit is the world's third largest gold assets by output. Polyus meets international standards, and it is a member of the International Council on Mining and Metals. Just Newmont, Barrick, and AngloGold produce more gold than Polyus globally. Since 2016, the owner of the company is Said Kerimov, who currently owns 77% of the shares. And Said's father is Suleiman Kerimov, who is a billionaire investor, businessman, and politician. Suleiman came from humble origins, studied economics at university, and he started his career in an electric company. He amassed his wealth through investments in companies such as Gazprom or Sberbank. He had invested in other miners before, such as Polymetal, and in 2010, Suleiman, with other partners, came to control 53% of Uralkali. In 2009, began to buy Polyus to finally control all the company in 2016. 1 year before, the company stopped trading and in 2017 came back to trade. Other executive directors of Polyus are Pavel Grachev, who was appointed CEO in 2014, Mikhail Stiskin, and Vladimir Polin. Said Kerimov is the owner and top management owns less than 1% of the company. The free float of Polyus is 22%. Kerimov's family is reducing its stake gradually. In 2017, controlled more than 82% of the shares and now owns 77%. The increase in free float has contributed to a substantial growth in liquidity of Polyus shares. For example, the average daily trading volumes were $19 million at the end of 2019, compared with just $8 million the year before. Polyus is a constituent of different indexes, so as the company increases its free float, the weighting of the company in them could also increase. For example, in the MSCI Russia Index or in the FTSE All World. If we look at the regional breakdown of the free float, 40% is in UK, 35% in North America, 14% in continental Europe, and just a 4% in Russia. Polyus customers are major Russian banks, but the company is not economically dependent on them due to the high level of liquidity in gold market. Polyus is the largest gold producer in Russia, where it accounts for circa 25% of gold output, and globally is the fourth largest gold producer. The company's production has grown a lot. In 2013, Polyus was the eighth largest producer globally, but since that year, the gold production of the company has increased 72%. That represents a compound annual growth of 9.5%. Last year, Polyus delivered record production volumes of 2.84 million ounces of gold. They have a pipeline of cost-efficient brownfield and greenfield expansion projects, and they are focused on organic growth. We think management is prudent, and over the last 6 years, Polyus has continued to exceed its annual production guidance and they have improved its recovery rates. Related to COVID, Polyus has maintained uninterrupted operations at all its assets during the second quarter of 2020. Here is the impressive growth of gold production. In 2013, Polyus was producing 1.6 million gold ounces annually, and this year more than 2.8 million ounces. Since 2013, the CAGR of the group's production is 9.5%. Let's focus now on its operating mines. They are large-scale mines, which are located in the gold-rich regions of Siberia and Russian Far East. All are open pit mines and they have also one alluvial. Olimpiada and Blagodanoye mines together form the Krasnoya cluster, which is one of the largest assets in the world and represents 64 of group's gold output. The last mine to enter into production was Natalka at the end of 2018 and helped the company increasing its gold output. Polius owns processing plants too, with a total mill capacity of 44 million tons per annum, and they have projects for further growth. Here are the six operating mines of the company. Olimpiada is the flagship operation of Polius, and this mine is a unique asset and one of the world's largest gold mines, accounting for almost half of the group's output. And more than half of the EBITDA came from Olimpiada too. Now I am going to explain a little bit more about the three largest mines of Polius, which represents 80% of production and EBITDA. Olimpiada was commissioned in 1996, and it is the biggest gold mine in Russia and the third largest in the world. It is 49% of group's output and 51% of EBITDA. It produced in 2019 almost 1.4 million ounces of gold. It is a low-cost producer with an all-in sustaining cost of $543 per ounce and has 24 million of reserves with a very good average grade of 2.9 grams per ton. Its mine life is 17 years. The group has plans to keep growing in Olimpiada, and it is working in different options to upgrade and improve the process development. Olimpiada is one of the largest producing assets in the world, and it produces a huge amount of gold annually, even compared with the biggest producing assets in the world. In the last years, and since the new management arrival, Polish gold production has increased a lot. However, cost has been cut in more than half. To realize how unique is Olimpiada, we can look at the chart that shows that it is the best in free cash flow per ounce and the largest producer. Blagodanoye is the second largest producer of Polius. It represents 15% of group's output and 15% of EBITDA. It started production in 2010, and it is not far away from Olimpiada. In fact, they formed together the Krasnoya cluster, which is one of the largest gold producers globally. Blagodanoye produces almost 421,000 ounces per year at a low all-in sustaining cost of $475 per ounce and a grade of 1.18 grams per ton. It has almost 9 million ounces of reserves and 18 years of mine life. The processing capacity in this mine has increased a lot in the last few years. The last project that the company brought into production was Natalka, which is one of the largest gold deposits in Russia and the 15th globally. It represents 14% of group's output and 13% of EBITDA. It is the sixth largest in resources globally. Natalka was discovered in 1942 and was acquired by Polius in 2008. 2019 was the first full year of operations and produced 405,000 ounces, more than triple the ounces produced the year before. It is another low-cost producer with an all-in sustaining cost of $534 per ounce. Its grade in ore mine is 1.8 grams per ton, and it has 14 million ounces in reserves with 29 years of mine life. Now we are going to focus on the company's flagship greenfield project, that is Sukhoi Log. It is Russia's largest gold deposit and the third largest greenfield asset globally. It is located in the Bodaibo district of the Irkutsk, a historic and well-established mining region, with the advantage for the company that it is near of its operating mine, Berninskoye. The mine was discovered in the 60s, and the initial exploration began at the beginning of that decade till the 1993. Polius got the exploration and mining license in 2017, and since that day is working on it. The final investment decision will be made in 2021, and Polis currently owns 78% of the project, but has an agreement to increase its ownership to 100% by 2022. Sukhoi Log is an open pit deposit with 63 million ounces in resources. Its mine life is 40 years, which is the third largest life in greenfields globally. It has highly competitive cost of productions. The total cash cost estimation is between $420 and $470 per ounce. The grade of the resources is really good. It's 2.1 grams per ton, and it could add even more ounces than Olimpiada per annum. The estimated production per year is 1.6 million ounces. One important point is that this project requires low capex, between $2 and $2.5 billion. The feasibility study will start this year, and they expect to complete it in 2021. And the first goal is expected around 2026. If we look at the greenfields projects globally, Sukhoi Log ranks one of the largest. And if we focus on the already operating mines, Sukhoi Log ranks very well, just behind South Deep Mine. And it has the third largest mine life of the greenfields globally. Let's focus now on the reserves and mineral resources. Polius has the third largest gold reserve base in the world, with 61 million ounces of proven and probable reserves, and makes 70% of Russian gold reserves. The group calculates its reserves at $1,250 the gold ounce, so it has margin for a potential re-rating in the future at current gold prices. It has 21 years of reserve life, excluding the possible 40 years life of Sukhoi Log. This mine life is much higher than the major's average of 16 years life. One point that favors Polius over other gold miners is that over 90% of gold reserves are located within its operating assets. Olimpiada, Blagodanoia, and Natalka represent 78 of reserves. Olimpiada has almost 40% of all the reserves of the company. Polius has the third largest reserves globally, just behind Newmont and Barrick gold miners. And all this without knowing how many mineral resources could become reserves in Sukhoi Log. Polius' 21 years life of reserves is the fourth largest in the world. And Polius has a good average grade of 1.8 grams per ton, which is much higher than the sector average of 1.3 grams per ton. 89% of reserves are expected to be mined at a grade of 2 grams per ton. The best grade is in Olimpiada. And if we compare the grade with the industry's average, the one of Polius is much higher. Here is the grade of the largest gold miners, and Polius ranks very good too. Polius has 188 million ounces in mineral resources, including the 63 million ounces from Sukhoi Log. And just like with reserves, a large part of mineral resources is located within operational mines. Olimpiada, Natalka, and Sukhoi Log are included in the world's 30 largest assets by resources. Olimpiada has a lot of resources, but Sukhoi Log has even more. Polius is the lowest cost producer among the world's top 10 gold miners. And if we consider the global industry cost curve, Polius ranks particularly good, positioned in the first lowest decile. It has an all-in sustaining cost of $574 per ounce, while the industry average was $951 per ounce last year. That allows Polius to have one of the industry highest EBITDA margin of 67% and a strong protection against potential fluctuation of gold price. They have been reducing costs since 2013. Olimpiada has the lowest cost of the group, and alluvials, which is the most expensive by far, bade little in Polius' output. Labor, consumables, and taxes are the largest costs, and they have been doing a good job reducing costs since 2013. And what are the reasons of Poly's low costs? They focus on developing large-scale Tier 1 assets, which mines are big, and this enables economies of scale, and are open pit operation with high grades. Assets are close to each other, for example, Olimpiada with Blagodavnoye or Berninskoye with Sukhoi-Log, and that enables share the infrastructure and transportation cost savings. And of course, the use of advanced technologies reduce cost too. Gravel depreciation is another important reason, but Polius has reduced cost more than Russian peers. Polius is the lowest cost producers among the major gold miners, and the lowest cost producer among its Russian peers too. And it has reduced costs more than Russian peers. They expect an effective income tax rate of 18%. Corporate income tax rate in Russia is 20%. And companies have the right to apply reduced mining and income taxes in certain regions if they implement regional investment programs as Polius is doing in Berninskoye and Magadan regions. After income tax, the largest tax is the mineral extraction tax. Polius reported record revenues and EBITDA in 2019. It has a strong cash position. 92% of cash is denominated in US dollars. And the company has generated free cash flow positive free cash flow in all the cycle and have the highest margin in the sector, that is 67% of EBITDA margin in 2019. Versus 42% price average. They have low hedges for gold this year, and it has no hedges for post-2020. Furthermore, EBITDA margins have increased every year since 2014. Polius has a healthy balance sheet. Its net debt EBITDA ratio was just 0.8 times in the second quarter of 2020. With a rating of BB by S&P and Fitch. The average interest rate is 4.6% and have little exposure to interest rates risk because only 3% of its debt is denominated in US dollar floating rate. In 2022, the company expects to achieve a net cash position. And 62% of the debt is denominated in US dollar. And its strategy is to have mostly US dollar denominated debt and keep cash and deposits in this currency. More than half of Polius debt matures in 2024. And in the last years, net debt EBITDA ratio have been improving to reach the current 0.8 times. CapEx in 2019 was $630 million, lower than the year before, but they expect $750 million for this year. A large part of CapEx was invested on Natalka and Olimpiada and in low-risk, high-return projects. Considering the CapEx to sales ratio is within the low range of the industry. Polius has probably the strictest investment criteria of the industry because expansion projects must meet expected yield of over 20% when gold price is at $1,050. Currently, more of 70% of carrying value of asset exploration goes to Sukhoi-Log. Since 2017, CapEx has decreased. And guidance for 2020 will not be very affected due to coronavirus. They expect to produce 2.8 million ounces with an average total cash cost between $400 and $450 and a total capex between $750 million. There are some risks and opportunities for the company. A large slump in gold prices or a sharp appreciation in the ruble would harm revenues. But in the case of ruble, Russia has a national wealth fund with which they control fluctuations of their currency. Additional sanctions on Russia won't be good. And one risk could be Kerimov's family buyout, although they are acting in other direction. In fact, they try to sell a stake to a Chinese group, but finally they don't agree in the sale price. Another risk is the non-approval or a delay in the Sukhoi LOX ramp-up. And you must take into account that the share price of Polyus has almost doubled this year, but we think it has still upside in the coming years. And then higher gold prices or a further depreciation of the Russian ruble would increase margins and revenues. One of the most important opportunities will be Sukhoi LOX ramp up. And as I told you before, the final investment decision will be made in 2021. If they find more ore bodies in operating mines or lower cost of production will be good news. Nowadays, Russian investors own few equities. 12% of Russian wealth is in securities compared with the 53% of Americans' wealth. If Russians begin to buy in more, it could be very good for Polyus. An increase in the free float could mean higher rates in international ETFs and indexes. And the valuation of Polyus, some ratios for 2021 will be price to earnings 9.8 times, enterprise value to EBITDA 7.5 times, or a free cash flow yield of 7.9%. Polyus has the highest 5-year average dividend yield in the sector with a 5.2%. And according to forward price to earnings, Polyus is the cheapest of the major gold miners and has the highest operating margin, which would be around 64 in the next years. Polyus return on equity is the highest in the sector too. And taking into account the CapEx sales ratio, it is within the low range of the industry. And looking at enterprise value to reserves or resources, Polyus is cheaper than the major's average. Polyus is the cheapest major gold miner according to forward price to earning ratio. And its operating margin is much higher than peers' average. In terms of enterprise value to reserves, Polyus is cheaper than the major's average. And looking at enterprise value to resources, the difference with the major's average is bigger, a sign that Polyus is cheaper than its peers. Polyus has one of the best shareholders' remuneration of the industry. The current dividend yield is 3% with a payout of 30% of EBITDA. And this will be the payout in the coming years unless the net debt EBITDA exceed 2.5 times. If that happens, the board will decide the payout. Only Polymetal had a higher dividend yield in 2019. And we think Russia is not a bad gold mining jurisdiction. Russia is the third largest gold producer globally, around 9% of global output, behind China and Australia, and has the second largest reserves. 83% of all European gold is sourced from Russian mines. Mining is one of Russia's key economic sectors, with $75 trillion worth of resources and minerals to be developed, according to Mining World. And Russia has some of the lowest cost producing gold mines in the world. And the country is fiscal friendly with implementation of regional investment programs. The American Fraser Institute publishes an international index which ranks countries and regions according to its investment attractiveness in mining. And Russia ranks much better than many other countries. For Polyus, FX is particularly important because most of its costs are in rubles, but gold is denominated and sold in US dollars. An appreciation of ruble could be a risk for the company, but Russia has a national wealth fund, which reduces large fluctuation. Gold in rubles, it is at an all-time high. This has favored the outperformance of the share price. And I want to finish the thesis with a little discussion of gold and gold miners. Gold has increased more than 20% year to date, outperforming the market this year. Gold is an excellent asset in uncertain periods. At the beginning of crises, usually fall due to the need of liquidity, but it usually outperforms the market along the crisis. Gold prices tend to rise when the inflation increases and maintain value in deflationary periods. It has a high correlation with real interest rates, and the best case scenario for gold is negative interest rates, and it is actually where we are. You can see how real interest rates have a very high correlation with gold prices, and it is one of the triggers of gold prices. We don't know exactly what the price of gold could be, but there are many ways to value gold. One example could be compare the central bank's balance sheets against gold. This chart shows how the Federal Reserve balance sheet was correlated with gold price till the 2013, but now there is a big gap with a further possible upside for gold. Another possibility is to compare gold to monetary base. As the chart shows, gold price could have a big upside. And here we can see how the financial indexes are much higher than gold. If the situation reverts, it has more upside. This chart shows gold as a reserve in different countries, and you can see that gold weighs too little in some countries, with further potential for acquisitions. In fact, central banks' purchases has been increasing. Since 2011, central banks are net buyers of gold after 20 years selling it. Let's focus now in the gold miner sector. There was a gold mining bear market from 2011 to late 2015. Gold exploration budgets are decreasing since that year, and one of the consequences was a decrease in reserves, resources, and production, reaching the lowest levels in 2009. 2019 was the first annual decline in gold mine supply since 2008, and global gold reserves has decreased more than 10% since 2016. We think the current environment could favor a bull market for gold miners because gold prices are increasing and costs were on the downside due to the weak energy prices and the appreciation of US dollar against local currencies where mines operate. This chart shows the dramatic fall in gold miners' exploration budgets and the consequent impact on the reduction in reserves and resources. If we compare gold stocks versus gold price, you can realize that although gold miners' price has risen, they have potential to catch up. Gold stocks are far away from its historical valuation against the S&P, which gives you a sign that they could still have much higher valuations. Here are reflected other gold stocks bull markets, and if you look at where we are now, you can realize that there can be further upside in the gold miner sector. The valuation of gold miners, measured by forward price to cash flow, is far away from the one reached in 2008. And so our conclusion is that Polius is a unique company that can perform very well in the coming years. It is Russia's largest gold miner and the fourth globally. It has the largest gold reserve base in Russia and the third globally. Its costs are the lowest among the majors, with an all-in sustaining cost of $574 per ounce, versus the industry average of $951 per ounce, and Polius is being able to reduce them gradually. Gold production has grown a lot. It has a compound annual growth since 2013 of 9.5%. Its grade of 1.8 grams per ton is much higher than sector average of 1.3 grams per ton. Polish generates robust free cash flow during all the cycle and has a low debt of 0.8 times net debt EBITDA ratio. The company will be able to grow in an industry which growth is difficult to achieve. And in the current macro environment, gold has a positive outlook, and historically in gold stocks bull markets, valuations have increased much more than the current ones. So thank you. I hope the investment thesis has been of your interest. And if you have any questions or you need further information, you can contact us in our website.
Well, Marta, thank you so much for this very interesting and in-depth presentation. Could you talk a little bit more about your investment process when it comes to looking for which gold miners to invest in? How did you decide to invest in Polius versus some other miners?
Yes, so we look for example, for companies or gold miners that have good grade. We search for companies with a lot of resources and reserves. Cost of productions are very important for us. For example, Polius is the lowest cost producer among the majors. We look for good management. For example, it's not only important to be good in a geological level. So for us, it's very important the financials. For example, in the past, gold miners have had a large debt. So right now we look for healthy balance sheets and if it is possible with no debt. And we search for long growth, for long-term growth. At this moment it's difficult because the industry is difficult to achieve the growth. But for example, Polius has a Sukhoi Log that is one of the best greenfields globally. And we think if you buy Polius, it is an optionality that you have. So Polius is the lowest cost producer, have a good management. The management have a good, very good track record with cost and with production. And you have this optionality with the new projects. So we think it's a very good opportunity in the gold mining sector.
As you said, the insider Kerimov has reduced the stake a little bit. Hmm. Do we know whether he intends to reduce the stake much more going forward?
We think it's on the table, this possibility, because for example, 3 years ago, he tries to sell a stake to a Chinese group. The Chinese group wanted to buy between 20 and 25% of the company for a price of $2 billion, but Kerimov don't agree in the sale price. And the time has confirms that Kerimov was right because at this moment, this stake worth $7 billion. So we think it's on the table.
Does Polius have any ambitions to acquire mines outside of Russia?
I don't think so, because you have to think that Polius has long-term growth. For example, Natalka, which was the last mine to come into production, came in 2018. So they have to improve grades and recoveries in this mine. And they have Sukhoi Log that is a very good optionality. So I think they are not thinking about buying other assets because they have already good projects.
At your firm, Salmon Mundi, how do you think about owning a miner versus the commodity itself?
So it's something different. It's not the same because you have more volatility and more beta. So, for example, for a person that doesn't know how gold miners works, it's better maybe to buy some gold. But for example, in Salmo Mundi, we own 5% in physical gold. But the most we have is gold miners, because we think are cheaper and they have further upside. And if the gold price increase more, they have the margins of the gold miners could improve a lot.
And it sounds like you've preferred the large established miners. Do you also look at more junior miners at all?
Yeah, and the risk is different because in juniors you have more risk of the project. And yes, we prefer, and in Salmo Mundi in general, we prefer leading companies with a robust stake and with market shares, with big market shares. So yes, we prefer leading companies.
Is there anything you are monitoring over time with regard to the Russian jurisdiction? Is there anything that if you saw happening would give you pause?
So we think Russia has good fundamentals. They are playing very orthodox economic reforms. And central banker, we think, is doing a very great job. For example, public debt right now versus GDP is 15%. Or if you take all, the aggregate debt, so public plus private, is 80% versus GDP. They have a lot of reserves, and the reserves covers all the external debt. So we think the fundamentals are good.
Wonderful. Well, Marta, thank you so much for this insightful presentation. I would just encourage our members to feel free to follow up. We are always happy to facilitate an introduction. Thank you so much for your participation in European Investing Summit.
Thank you, Jan. It was a pleasure.
Goodbye for us.
Bye.